friends, on this lovely autumn day which the Lord has given us. I love this time of year. The leaves are turning many colors, yellow, gold, and red. And we see the touch of winter as we're reminded that the leaves will soon be falling to the ground. The birds and squirrels are getting ready for snow. The flowers are withered and withdrawing their blooms, and the cold north wind will soon be blowing. But God is still working. Listen to the scriptures. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? 1 Kings 19:9, 13. There are two things I would like you to notice about this scripture. One, Elijah was hidden away there on the mountain where God had a chance to talk to him. He was away from the multitude and the cares of life. He gave God a chance to find and speak to him, even though he may have thought he was hidden. The northern rattle of the city was far below. Two, God speaks in a still small voice. In order to communicate with God, one needs to be still. The psalmist wrote, Be still and know that I am God. Psalms 46:10. When the sinner becomes fully awakened to his condition, a feeling of alarm arises. A serious meditation takes place as the words of the gospel ring in his ears. What is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Luke 9:25. The pleasures of earth vanish away like a vapor before the burning rays of the sun as the scene is presented to him in the light of eternity. Then is when life is considered as vanity and worldly show and worldly wisdom a light matter and swept away as chaff before the wind. As he looks out into the dark chasm of hopeless despair into which his pathway leads, every signboard seems to point to perdition as his doom. Many as they stood and faced this great precipice of despair lost all hope and plunged into the depth of sin to drown their misery, but only increased the darkness and woe. Others have stood upon the brink, and as hope was lost amid the dark and gloomy surroundings, have put an end to life, only to meet their doom in eternity, in a far worse state of affairs among the ceaseless wailings of the lost. To put an end to life here on earth, because of trouble and sorrow, does not bring deliverance from such, but bring the sting of death upon the soul, which is far more to be feared than the deadly touch of the adder or the rattlesnake. And the step can never be recalled, nor the sting removed after death has severed the thread of life, and the spirit has taken its flight from the body. While some rush heedless into the jaws of death, purposely, fearless and bold, others are accidentally hurled into eternity without a moment's warning. How sad. Their doom is sealed. But let us look from the brink of this awful chasm where sin has widened the gulf between the wandering transgressor and God. See this man or woman as they rush down the dark way now, almost hopelessly groping along in the darkness of despair. But God is calling to them. This is the way, walk ye in it, Isaiah 30:19. And they wonder, could that mean me? Yes, it means you. When you turn to the right or to the left, that voice says, "This is the way, walk ye in it." It is a voice from heaven, pointing out the way for the salvation of your soul. It is a still small voice, yet God calls. What will you do? At this point is where the faint rays of hope appear. Yet all in the spiritual sky is darkness. Satan whispers, "It is too late with you. There is no mercy now. And to reform is impossible. All hope has fled away." But that voice continues and not only points out the way, but says, "Look and live. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." The sinner says, "I cannot come. I'm lost, undone, bound by fetters from which there is no deliverance. All is darkness around me." But hear that voice again. "I am the way. I came to seek and to save the lost." But remember, the secret here is to get quiet before the Lord and listen to the still small voice. A good place to get quiet is in the fields, a wooded area, or in the mountains. Jesus often rose up before day and went to the mountain to pray. Elijah was in the mountain here in our lesson. The quietness of the mountain seems to do something for the spirit of mankind. It is restful. Or perhaps the beaches of the ocean to some is restful. Some of you have heard, and to those who have not, let me tell you that the Lord has given us a little spot, a retreat of a little more than an acre of wooded land atop of Gaither Mountain, some 8 to 9 miles from Harrison, Arkansas. This is in the Ozarks and is very rocky. I never cease to marvel at the beauty of the valley below. For standing on the cliff, we can see for miles and miles. There are the hay fields, the pools of water, the houses and highways as they stretch out in the distance. All are portrayed as a panorama. Most of the noise is far below, and quietness prevails as we settle down on the moss-covered rocks to meditate and behold the goodness of God to us. It is a good place for prayer, where the cares of life are laid down for a moment. And this poem fits in so well with this theme, to be or not to be. There's a spot on the bank or the roadside, neath an old tree where often I go to repose on its moss-covered surface or to gaze on the meadow below. In the evening, I oftentimes wander to that lovely and beautiful spot, and over life's fancies I ponder while all present cares are forgot. One day as I lay in the shadows enjoying the light summer air, a drowsiness gathered around me and strange visions greeted me there. Methought there stepped down from the branches a spirit from out of the wood, who took from his bosom a pamphlet as before me in silence he stood. I scarcely had time to behold it or think what his errand might be before he began to unfold it and said, "I've a message for thee." At these words my anxious heart fluttered and filled up with wonder and dread as I thought on the message he uttered, while to me these quaint words he read. "From this time henceforward, O mortal, it shall not be given to man to enter the heavenly portal, nor the gulf of decision to span. But to you, your choice shall be given. When death comes his harvest to reap, to live o'er the life thou hast liven, or to lie down forever to sleep." At this the strange spirit departed. As to me these last words he spoke, but the thought that his message imparted still haunted me as I awoke. I wondered, does life's joys and pleasures make up for its sorrow and tears? Would we grasp at life's form as a treasure, or shrink when its presence appears? Would we fall like the oak in the forest, decaying to lie on the ground, the spirit alike with the body, each sharing the one common man? Or drop to the earth like the acorn and start a new life as before, to spring back again into childhood and renew our memories of yore? Would we take up the burden of trials, contentedly carry them through, rather than lie in inaction, forgetting the pleasure we knew? Yes, man with no show of resistance would travel the voyage once more, were it not that we see in the distance a brighter light just on before. Friends, it's easy to see that part of this poem is a fantasy. For one thing, we cannot, if we would, relive this life with all its happiness and sorrow. When we are gone, it is for eternity. It is for better or for worse. And in the second place, there is life after death. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. John 11:25-26. So there is life beyond the grave. And dear ones, it is very important that you prepare for it. Our Father, bless the listeners in the way which they need most this day. May the sinners and the ungodly listen to the still small voice of God before it is too late. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Listen now to the words of this song.
I hear celestial music strain free sounding everywhere. Their tidings fill Judea's plains that Christ our sins did bear. Yes, yes, yes. My heart from sin is free, yes, free indeed. Tis Jesus makes, yes, makes me whole. Tis Jesus makes, yes, makes me whole. My care and all of him I roll. He fully saves my soul.
We're counting on the Lord to move on the hearts of the listeners and readers to help us keep this message going for us. We have appreciated your help in the past, and it is greatly needed now. Pray for us. We wish each of you a blessed Thanksgiving, and until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.